woman prepared a package. She packed up a Bible, took it down to the post office to mail it, and the man behind the counter at the post office looked at the box and said, ma'am, is there anything breakable in it? She said, only the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, and we've been studying that in the past weeks, and now we've completed the Ten Commandments. We're in chapter 20, yet with the Ten Commandments, and we're in verse 18. And we find that after giving Israel the Ten Commandments, he encourages them as to how to apply those Ten Commandments to life. How to keep them. Not just to have the Ten Commandments, but to keep the Ten Commandments. That's one of the areas where we tend to put the desire for the deed. I know I have a difficult time when I go into a bookstore. I see all kinds of books I would just love to have. And then I get that little thought way in the back of my mind, how many books do you have on your shelves now that you still have not read? And as I start thinking of some of the books that I bought a while back because they looked so good and I wanted to get into them and I still haven't read them, I'm reminded that maybe I don't need more books. Maybe I just need to read the books I've got. And the same thing with God's Word. Many times we tend to think because we have the Bible, that's enough. God says, no, that's not enough. You need to keep the Bible. It's not just enough to have His commandments, but we must keep His commandments. And just like buying is not reading, so also having is not keeping. As we began Exodus 20, we see that God spoke all these words. He gave us His Word. And after giving us these commandments, He now teaches us the fear of God that we might keep all the words of this law. Exodus chapter 20, we would like to read for our scripture verses 18 through 26. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make for me. And you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it out of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness not be exposed on it. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would enable us at this time to see the ways in which you would have us to apply your word to our lives, that we might not only have the word of God, but that it might be fulfilled in our daily conduct. We trust you for your blessing as we look into the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. And the fear of God. In this portion of scripture, we see God presenting to his people the need that they fear Him. The first thing we need to look at is what is the fear of God. Now, the fear of God is not fearing the thunder, because Moses very specifically says to the people, do not fear. They heard the thunder, they saw the lightning, they heard the sound of the trumpet, they saw the mountain smoking. And Moses said, do not fear. We are not to fear the evidences of God's power, the lightning, the thunder, the fear that we are to have is of God Himself. We are to fear to disobey Him. Sometimes we hear a definition of the fear of God as being reverential trust. And I suppose in some respects that is true. But it's more than that. It's far more than that. The fear of God is not merely reverential trust of God, but rather it is a constant awareness of the presence of God. A constant awareness of the fact that God is present, that He is watching, that He is judging, that He is evaluating, and that He is in the process of bringing to light all of the hidden things. Psalm 139 is certainly a very thorough picture of what it means to fear God. Psalm 139, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. So the fear of God is the awareness that God is present, that He searches our hearts, that He knows our ways, that He comprehends our path. There's not a word in our tongue, but what He is aware of that. There's not a thought in our mind, but what He knows. And so the fear of God is the awareness of His presence. A song that many times the boys and girls sing. Be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a God above who's looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. The fear of God is the constant awareness of the presence of God. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so the fear of God is the awareness that He is watching, that He is present, that He is aware of all that is going on, and the fact that He will expose that which is going on. We studied a while back the life of Abraham, and we read in the life of Abraham how he went down into Egypt and he told Sarah to say that you're my sister. Now I'm sure when Abraham, in the shelter of his tent, as he was talking in secret with his wife Sarah, he said, now look, would you say that I'm your brother? Abraham didn't have a clue that about 4,000 years later, all across the globe, the entire world, there would be people that would be saying, well, do you remember Abraham and how he told his wife Sarah to say that she was his sister? You suppose Abraham guessed that those secret words were going to be spread throughout the entire world for thousands of years? And God doesn't do that out of any sense of hurt or malice, but rather He uses the lives of His saints to teach His people. And so we find that God is aware of all things. And he brings things to light. This is what Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. Jesus said, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." And then further on in Luke chapter 12 and verse 3. "Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." And so we are told to fear God because He knows, He evaluates, He judges, and He makes known. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all receive that which we have done in the body, whether that be good or bad." And so there is a tremendous motivation to the fear of God. It's more than just a reverential trust, but a deep, stirring motivation to obey God in all things. The fear of God, then, is the constant awareness that God is watching and will expose my every thought, word, and deed. And that's a good motivation. That's not bad. That is a good motivation that God gives us, that we might fear Him. And so if I live daily in the fear of God, if I live daily in the fear of God, what thoughts would change? Would there be a change in the things that I allow in my mind? If I lived daily in the fear of God, what words would not be spoken? Are there words that I speak because I think only certain people hear them? But if I were aware of the fact that God hears them, would there be a change? What actions would cease if I lived daily in the fear of God, the constant awareness of His presence? If I lived daily in the fear of God, what attitudes would be corrected? Those attitudes deep down in the heart that I think perhaps even other people aren't aware of. Those things that motivate me, what would change? If I lived daily in the fear of God, what motives would be purified? The reasons why I do certain things that perhaps no one else knows about. But if I realized day by day that I was living in the presence of God, how would these various things change? And so God wants His people to fear Him. And fearing God is simply living in that constant awareness that God is present, God is watching, that God is evaluating and judging, and that God will make known that which I think is secret. God in His goodness and grace will make known. Second thing we want to look at is how important is the fear of God. In verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you." Now why? "So that you may not sin." And so God's purpose in helping us to see His fear, in helping us to fear Him, is that we might not sin, that we might live pleasing to Him, doing His will. Proverbs 16:16, we read, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And so, if we are to keep God's Word, if we are to keep these Ten Commandments, we must have the fear of God. And that's why God appeared to the people in this way, with thunders and lightnings, and they were afraid. And God said, "Don't fear these external things. What you really want to fear is disobeying me. Fear me, that you might obey me, and that you might not sin. And so, fearing God keeps us from sin. And not only keeps us from sin, but it keeps us from false worship. Notice the second thing that God clearly mentions in this portion of Scripture. In verses 22 through 26, he talks about all different kinds of false worship. And so he says, it's important that you fear me. First of all, that you might not sin, but that you would keep these commandments. And second of all, that you might not fall into false worship. And so he warns them not to make gods of silver or gold. And we must confess that in our day, it's very easy to have gods of silver and gold, or the things that silver and gold will buy. And they become our gods. And he warns us here about the various ways in which we can put other gods before him. We are to worship him in simplicity, an altar of earth. And so our worship must not in any way detract from our fellowship with God, so that as we worship, our thoughts are upon God and not upon the things around us. If we have an altar of stone, he says, it's not to have a tool upon it. In other words, nothing that would distract us from intimate fellowship with God. And so day by day, we fear him in that we avoid anything that would keep us from our having our thoughts upon him, from worshiping him, from serving him, from obeying him, from keeping his commandments. And so it is important that we fear God in order that we might not sin, and in order that we might not fall into false worship. But the real concern we have then is, how can we learn the fear of God? Now, the fear of God can be learned. We are told, come, my children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so we can and we must learn the fear of God, because our hearts are naturally self-confident, and we tend to ignore the truth. Just as the fool says in his heart, there is no God. He knows that there is, but in his heart he convinces himself that there isn't. And so also as Christians, it's easy for us to convince ourselves of wrong ways. And we're told here very clearly then that we must learn to fear the Lord. And so we can and must learn to fear the Lord. And we see several things in Scripture that help us to understand how we learn the fear of the Lord. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17 and verse 19, Moses is preparing the people of Israel for the promised land. And he tells them that when they get into the land, they're going to want a king. And so God tells them what that king should do. And in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19, God says, let's see, we have to back up a little bit here, that he is, verse 18, shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. And so the priests and the Levites had the original copy of the law that was given to God by Moses, and Moses put it into the hands of the priests, and God says that the king then is to make his own copy of that, so that he can have it right with him. Everybody couldn't have a copy of the Word of God in those days. It was difficult. The means were expensive and laborious, the copying, making copies of it. And so not everybody could have it. But the king was specifically to have his own copy, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. And so God says that the king is to have the Word of God, and he is to read it, and he is to meditate on it, in order that he might learn to fear the Lord, and that he might walk in the ways of the Lord. And so, as we desire to learn to fear the Lord, one of the important things is the reading and the meditation upon the Scriptures. As we meditate upon Scripture, we learn to fear the Lord, because the Scriptures not only give us the law of the Lord, but the testimonies of how God works. And as we read these testimonies, we learn to fear the Lord. We learn to fear the Lord also through the examples of Bible characters. Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, for I am undone." We see Isaiah's fear of God. Paul fell down before the Lord on the road to Damascus, trembling and astonished, and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" We recognize that it is important that we fear the Lord. Daniel, in chapter 10, verse 11, says, "I stood trembling before the angel." As the angel of God came and spoke to him, Daniel stood trembling. And so we see in Bible characters the importance that we have not merely a reverential trust, but a genuine fear of God, a healthy, holy fear of disobeying God. Another way in which we learn to fear the Lord is mentioned in Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14 and verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 14, 22. We read, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." That means that as we give to God, we are learning to fear him. We know that the natural man is bound up with his money. And as he learns to separate himself from that which becomes his chief desire, he learns to fear the Lord. And so in our giving to the Lord, in our worshiping, in our sacrificing, we learn to fear God. And we learn to fear God also by being alert to God's reproofs of life. We find Jeremiah mentions this, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. God speaking through his prophet there said, "Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts." God says your own backslidings will correct you, will reprove you, and you will see then that it is a evil and a bitter thing to forsake me. And so God wants us to fear him that we might not forsake him. And God says that if we do forsake him, that our own backslidings will reprove us, that we might learn that it is an evil and a bitter thing to forsake him, but rather that we are to fear him. Now, this has been vividly illustrated in our day, because in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, God tells the Israelites, and through his word tells us very specifically, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Now, a person that fears God says, "That is not pleasing to God. I will not do it." I won't do it because it displeases God. Because I fear God, I won't do that. But you see, what happened was that since there were no evidences of any kind of consequence, therefore men went ahead and did it. They did it because they didn't fear God. If they had feared God, they wouldn't have done it. They did it because they said, there are no consequences to this. There's nothing happens to you when you do this. And since there are no consequences, we will do it. There were consequences. It's just they hadn't seen them yet. Now men are saying, there are consequences to this, we have to be more careful. See, they're still not saying, we should not do this because God says don't do it. There's still no fear of God. Now they're fearing consequences. Now they're figuring out how to get around the consequences. See, there's still no fear of God. And God says, you shall fear me. Because if you fear me, then down the line of peace, when the consequences appear, you will not suffer them. Because you feared me. See, God doesn't want us to just fear consequences. God wants us to fear Him. That's why I believe God sometimes allows the consequences to come way on down the line. I think that's true of what we were talking a few weeks ago about Abraham. And I mentioned that Abraham said, you know, say that that I'm your brother. And she did, and there were no immediate consequences. Farther on down the line there were. And God says, if you will obey me, then when those consequences appear, you won't suffer those consequences because you feared me. So important that we fear God and that we obey God. Because if we are only fearing the consequences, by the time we learn what the consequences are, it'll be too late. Because God wants us to fear Him. And I read in the paper this past week that one of the most outspoken leaders of the Sodomites has just died of AIDS at the age of 44. Now, I rather suspect that if he had known the consequences, he might have varied, at least in some respects, his conduct. But God says, you are to fear me. And now those people who feared God and said, because I fear God, I will not do that, can say, the fear of the Lord is good. The fear of the Lord is clean. And those who fear the Lord do not have to fear the consequences. And so God's purpose is that we fear Him. And we need to fear Him even when it looks like there are no consequences. God wants us to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Men scoff when we say we will not do certain things because the Bible says so. Men scoff and they say, well, you know, that's foolish. But then God brings the consequences. And men realize that evil always has its consequences. Someone put up a sign, you know, sin pays, but its wages is death. And people think that they can get away with sin. God says it always pays. It pays consequences. And so God intends that we see these things, that we learn from the reproofs of life, that it is an important thing to fear Him. And as we see just one illustration of how God has reproved men because they refused to fear Him, then we must remember that in every situation of life it's the same. Here we have one example, but what about all the other examples in Scripture of what God says? And as we fear Him, then we will be delivered from the consequences. And God says, I will bless you as you fear Me and obey Me. And so, we find that God not only gave us His Ten Commandments, but immediately then, He tells us that these are to be applied to our daily lives. And so, just like the book of Ephesians, first three chapters, doctrine. Second three chapters, this is what you do with it. Exodus chapter 20, first 17 verses, commandments. Start verse 18, this is what you do with it. That we might fear Him, that we might obey Him, and that we might know His blessing. Father, we thank You that it is not a vain thing to fear You. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is good. The fear of the Lord is right. Lord, we know that men scoff. They call us foolish. If we would hold to the clear instruction of Scripture, in fact, our own wicked hearts at times would even question and say, well, what's wrong with that? We pray, Father, that we might learn from meditation on Your Word, from faithful giving, from the reproofs of life, that we might learn the importance of having a holy fear of God. As Joseph said, how can I do this thing and sin against the Lord? We pray, Father, that You would enable us by Your grace to fear You and to know Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.